So, hi, my name is Denis Zhitkich. I am a university teacher and a doctoral researcher here at the Faculty of Information Technology. And today I will be presenting my PhD thesis in educational technology, and specifically, my topic is on computer science education. As a note, I just started writing my main dissertation text, so this presentation will be just a brief overview of my research for the thesis. Oh, yeah, before I forget, just to reiterate, should you have any questions regarding the presentations, feel free to post them in chat. I'll try to answer them after the presentation. But we also, of course, will have a 5-minute discussion period. But yeah, without further ado, I want to start by asking a small question. You don't need to answer it, but maybe just think about it. So my question is, how do you learn best? Today we have a really good number of listeners present, and I'm pretty sure that we all have unique ways of learning a new topic. I think that some of you are probably able to just read a book or just try a thing out and just magically know the thing. But most of us probably also have to take notes, watch videos, listen to podcasts about the topic, or attend courses, or some kind of combination of all of them. And I think, I bet that today we have as many unique paths and answers to this question as there are listeners present. And I think that especially in the last decade or so, we all had to adjust the way we learn and the way we teach. Specifically, I think there are two major shifts that's affected this. First, the learning culture has moved further from this idea of a teacher lecturing in front of the class and more towards individualizing and scaffolding learning for each student personally. And I also think that has been a major shift towards online courses and digital materials, especially the COVID-19 pandemic has probably vastly accelerated this progress. But additionally, I think that nowadays we also better understand learning in itself. Teachers, researchers, and students all, I think, know and talk about things like motivation, metacognition, and self-efficacy. And in my PhD thesis, I specifically focused on one concept, self-regulation. Now, self-regulation generally refers to the student's ability to monitor and manage various aspects of learning, for example, effort, time, behavior, motivation. So, in other words, a student who has good self-regulation skills, knows how they learn best. They are able to adjust their approaches based on the task, and they can also develop themselves as a better learner. In research, however, self-regulated learning is usually the main framework to inspect self-regulation. In short, self-regulated learning, or SRL, is an iterative learning process in which students self-regulate. In all in all, basically, SRL provides a framework to inspect and analyze student behavior. And this brings me to my thesis topic. So my context for my thesis is a bit divided, but it's primarily focused on CS1, which is a common name for the first introductory programming course in university. But in one study, I also focus on secondary school mathematics. And there are two reasons for this kind of interesting choice. So first, in some meta-analysis, it was found that self-regulated learning skills learned in primary and secondary schools do transfer to later studies, especially in case of mathematics. Secondly, computer CS1 is the very first course that computer science students usually study, so the su success in this course is very critical. In fact, it can be called kind of a gatekeeping course because without it, you can't really succeed in other CS studies. And CS1 is known to have a very high workload, and has been described by students themselves as a tedious course. And also, CS1 has a notable maybe not significant, but still notable dropout and failure rate. For example, here in UVascular, about 27% of students on average don't pass or just drop out of CS1, and worldwide it's 28%. Now, this might not sound as much, but for example, here in UVascular, we usually have about 300 students every year starting CS1, which means that about 80 students always drop out or fail. And this brings me to my main thesis topic. So, considering the context, my general theme of my thesis is, what information about students' self-regulated learning and success can be extracted from digital learning materials to better support the students? And next, I will briefly present three studies in which data from digital learning materials was used to understand dropout and student behavior. As a note, the first two studies that I will present have been published and are available online, but the last study has been just recently submitted for review. So, for the first study, I focused on using TraceLog data and self-report questionnaire to map and describe student behavior during a mathematics class. Now, for context, there are generally two ways to measure self-regulated learning. It can be measured as events, so which means that you collect logs, which are usually called trace logs, that contain time-stamped information of every time a student interacts with the digital materials. But self-regulated learning can also be measured as aptitudes, which generally means collecting like some kind of self-reports of students on how they feel they can self-regulate or how they self-evaluate themselves as self-regulators. And in this study, I conducted a small-scale case study in a secondary school mathematics class in which students studied a simple mathematics topic for 3 days. And the general objective was to evaluate the combined use of trace logs and self-reports for detecting self-regulated learning. And for that, I used a standard questionnaire to measure self-regulated learning, which is called MSLQ. And for trace logs, I used cluster analysis and process mining to get kind of like visual and nice-looking interpretations of student behavior patterns. And I think that you might be interested, especially in the latter one. So I thought I'd show you an example. So here's like one of the example outcomes of this studies. So here I show that in this study, we managed to find one behavior type, one behavior pattern that we named task-oriented. And we can see that in general, during the 3 day study period, three students, I'm sorry, seven, during the 3 day study period, students used it seven times, this behavior pattern. And on the left, we can see a visual representation of what were the common actions that the students took when they used this behavior pattern. So we can see that, for example, four times out of seven, students started by reading theory text, then looked at the worked examples in the book, and they started working on the tasks. And we can see that it's very heavily relied on the tasks. The same thing can be actually seen on the right, where we can see that the green bars, which are related to task events, we can see that the green bars are pretty prevalent, which gives the name to this behavior type. And in this study, we found five different types, so five different patterns of how students learned. And we generally found that these behaviors are consistent with other literature. So overall, this study showed that we can indeed map behavior patterns, but even with trace logs and self-reports, we can't really easily see whether the behavior is indicative of success or failure. So this brings me to my second topic, my second study. So in the second study, the goal was therefore to actually try to model and predict dropout risk. And in general, when it comes to predicting students' behavior or dropouts, or generally prediction, there are usually many challenges. The most common are usually related to how generalizable the model that you've developed is, or how easy it is to interpret why the model works the way it does, and actually generally what kind of data to use for prediction. And here in this study, we focused on a specific prior study which proposed a readily available, privacy-friendly, and an explainable approach for dropout prediction in programming. So therefore, this study was essentially a reproduction and an extension of this previous study. Specifically, we extended the study by also including self-reports of students to see whether it actually improves or somehow affects the predictions. And overall, we collected anonymous task performance data from 7 years of CS1 course held here in Jyväskylä. And this data will included only task submission timestamps and only whether the submission was correct and or incorrect. And all this data combined, we trained and evaluated essentially a pass-fail classifier for each course week. Now, unfortunately, I don't have time to go into deep details about the results, but just to show some of the visualizations that we managed to get. So here's an example. And overall, we found that the prediction quality that was similar to the original study, which verified our results, but we also managed to verify some interesting hunches that CS1 teachers had. So, for example, that the fourth week of CS1 here in Jyväskylä is the most critical in terms of dropouts. And we also found that self-report studies do indeed help improve early prediction quality. And essentially, with this data, we managed to get like an initial explanation for dropouts. So, without going into deep details, essentially each pixel in this heat map that we found managed to generate describes how each feature that we use for predicting dropouts, how each feature affects the dropout prediction for each of the course week. So we can actually see the progression of each feature importance. So overall, this is nice, this is cool, but this doesn't really clearly tell about student behavior beyond how often the students turns, about beyond like how student turns into tasks. So you don't really know what specifically student did or did not do to be active. And this brings me to my latest study, which essentially, in short, combined studies one and two to try to see. To try to combine it to a unified approach and try to understand behaviors of high and low dropout risk students in CS1. And unfortunately, I can't again go into high detail due to time constraints, but just to show the idea is that we collected trace logs, some basic self-reports, and task performance data in CS1 course, and actually compared to the last start two studies, we actually developed a proper pipeline for processing the trace logs, which I show here. So basically, we actually have a proper pipeline that was developed for this study. And as a result, what we managed to get is essentially a basic but a pretty descriptive dashboard. So what we managed to get is kind of the same image as in study one, but now we have behavior patterns for students who have low dropout risk, and we have behavior patterns of those who are at high dropout risk. And not only that, but we also managed to get information about the different learning paths of each student. So, all in all, I have three main takeaways that I currently have. So, first of all, my PhD thesis, I propose a semi-automatic approach to map student behavior and to view them visually. And it's a semi-automatic approach because right now it kind of relies on self-reports and kind of on the experience of the teacher to interpret the behavior patterns. But nevertheless, the results are promising. They're consistent with prior studies, and this is actually usable on small case classrooms and also equally usable on larger MOOC-style courses. So just as a small note, we noted that self-reports and trace logs do complement each other and they provide two different aspects into student behavior. And finally, related to that, there are two future steps that we see. First of all, automating this approach further and trying to replicate it on a larger with a larger course, and the current results can probably be used as part of an intervention or maybe educating teaching assistants on how to detect different kind of students, to detect different at-risk students. But that was my presentation. I thank you. I'll just go briefly over my references, and meanwhile, you're free to comment and ask questions. Thank you.